Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Good morning. You're listening to the November Team live on Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting from the Mount Olympus Diner in Yonkers, New York. We're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg Durante Rentals, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental. I'm Bill O'Reilly of the November Team. My partner Jessica Proud is up in the state capitol today, but I'm joined by somebody that you all probably know very, very well, a very interesting and long-time New York radio personality and host, among other things. He's been on the airwaves for a few years. Ever, it seems, but in the best way. John Marino, welcome to November Team Live.
Hey, great to be here with you, Bill. John, Bill O'Reilly. There you go.
The Bill O'Reilly, that's what my father says. Uh-huh. I was considering changing it to Sean Hannity at one point, but things got a little tricky.
Or how about maybe, no, I was going to say Eric Bowling. Not right now, right?
not right now.
Maybe down the road.
But, you know, I've heard you on the airwaves for years, and I've loved your shows, but I've never had the opportunity to meet you in person. I'd love to just get to know you better and have our listeners get to know you better, kind of the man behind the mic, if you will. So, John, give us a little bit of how you got into this. You've been a major figure in the broadcasting industry. Where did it start? Where was the interest?
Well, it all began when I was in high school at the old St. Agnes High School on 44th Street in Manhattan. I grew up in East Harlem, and I remember it was 1973, and I was a junior. And we had a bunch of days off in the middle of the winter for that year. They took Election Day. We had to go to school Election Day. And they promised us when Washington's birthday comes and Lincoln's birthday comes, we're going to give you 5 days off. We'll give you the Election Day then in February, I guess it was, before we had an official President's Day. So we had 5 days off from school, and I woke up 3 days in a row to Ron Lundy on WABC at that time. And I remember two of those 3 days, he played Little Darlin' by the Diamonds as his first song. And I said, you know what? That's what I want to do for a living.
What year would that have been? Maybe
that 1973.
73, okay.
Yeah, when that happened to me, Little Darlin' was 1957 with a group called the Diamonds out of Ontario.
I grew up in the city, and I remember with my brother, we lived on 93rd Street, and listening to Ron Lundy coming through, and it was everything. Radio was everything. But radio today, I mean, radio hasn't gone anywhere.
No, it's gone. I hate to say it, and it's changed so much from what got us into the business at the beginning. Everybody wanted to be on WABC at that time. Jock on ABC. And right after we got into the business, everything changed then. FM was there already. Then the 80s came, the wave of adult contemporary radio and talk radio at the same time. And everybody went in the same kind of similar direction, from being an AC jock instead of a top 40 jock. A number of people branched off into talk, into sports like I did. And we've kept our hands in jocking along the way, too. And we've branched out into doing things like public address announcing at high school or college or pro sporting events, or maybe hosting concerts, being an event host, whatever it is. Like I say, people say, what do? I say, whatever comes up.
It's an amazing skill set. I mean, people walk into a room or into a stadium and somebody kind of has to lead them. And so somebody has to get up there and do it. And often that role is taken for granted, but it's not easy.
There's a lot of work to it. There's a lot of work. You got to get in early. You got to prep. You got to walk around, talk to people, ask questions. You know, you got to work the room, basically. And I think people look at you sometimes as, this guy's a real PIA. But you have to be sometimes. It's better to ask the stupid question and look like a fool, and then when something comes up during whatever it is that you're doing, you don't know what's going on.
Right. So let's go. Let's go back to listening to Ron Lundy on ABC. How'd you get in? So you're in high school?
I was in high school, and I said, well, what's the best communications program in this area where I can get on the radio? And that was, of course, like it is today, WFUV at Fordham University. And I said, I'm going to Fordham. And I got accepted at Fordham. First couple of years, I focused on school. I focused on getting my requirements out of the way in just about every subject. And then by year three, I had a lot of electives. So I took political science, I took art, all things related to the entertainment field, I guess, to radio, to TV. And I went to work at WFUV Radio. And that's where it all began.
FUV is an amazing station for those who haven't listened to it. Is George Bedarkey still running that? Is he?
No, he is not there anymore. Oh, there as far as I know, he was there a long time. Yeah.
But it's such a solid station. Was it talk and music when you were there?
It was a mix of music and talk, and that's where I got to do everything. The one thing I did not do there, I did not do sports there. People assumed that I did, and years later, I became a sports anchor on 1010 Wins, on CBS 880, on Bloomberg, a couple of stints there, on WABC Radio, and that's not how I got into sports. I got into sports when I went to work at WFAS 1230 in the late 80s in White Plains, and Steve Torrey, who now is and has been for a number of years the head of sports at Sirius Radio and has worked closely with Mad Dog Russo on his show at Sirius, Steve was the sports director there. And he got a job at 1010 Wins, and they needed to throw somebody in just to do sports until they found a new sports director. So I was hosting the morning show. I was filling in on the afternoon show when the afternoon guy didn't show up. I was doing some stuff on John Harper's FM morning show. Also, too, right next door, I'd run out of the AM studio during news or a commercial break, jump in with John, do something there. And pretty much everything else, whatever came up. And whatever came up was Rich White, the general manager at that time, called me in and said, listen, I know you're a big sports fan. Steve's going to Wins right away. Can you do it until we find somebody? You're doing everything else here, so why not just do that?
That's how it all
happened. I said, you know what? I said, it's overtime, right? Okay, I'll do it. And that's how it all happened, actually, from there. And then he said, you know what? Instead of looking for somebody, you're here already. Just it's all yours. So you're the sports director now, too. And that's how I got into the world of on-air sports instead of just being a fan.
It's funny. I know the story well. I had an Uncle Jack. His name was Jack O'Reilly. Passed away a few years ago. And he was a WOR radio host in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And went off, left New York and went to, used to interview Guy Lombardo. And then they had him do the first Knicks. He ended up being a sportscaster in Philadelphia and then later in Arizona. It seems like a natural mix.
If you're a sports fan, it's just something you move over to do, I think. I know I have worked with a couple of sports anchors along the way who did not come up in what we now call sports radio or sports talk radio, but they were big and are big sports fans. So it's kind of like, you know, just do it.
Right.
Mike McCann on The Fan is one I can think of. He was a legendary YNY jock in the city in the 80s, and he just moved over after YNY. I think he went back to St. Louis for a bit. He might have been someplace else. Came back to WFAN in the city. He's been on there ever since.
So I mean, everything's changed in media over the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, certainly 30. How has radio changed? Because as we mentioned before, it's a medium that has not gone away. It did not get supplanted by some other field, but the whole tenor of it's different.
It's a lot more corporate. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
It's more corporate
today.
It's
a lot less local and a lot more corporate. As much as I love listening to satellite music formats, satellite talk formats, satellite sports formats, that changed the business dramatically, the creation of all of those, first with the satellite music formats back in the late 80s, and companies would sell their services, call a radio station and say, oh, what do you have to pay a local guy for? Sign up with our service, you know, run our national spots. You can still sell locally and you don't have to pay anybody. General managers around the country said, you know, that's a great idea. We don't have to pay anybody. We can just pay me. That's how the business changed through the years. And then the FCC lightening the load, basically, for ownership, where before you could not own any more than one FM station, one AM station, one newspaper in a market.
Right.
And those rules changed in the 1990s and have gotten a lot worse today, where you can pretty much find a way, if you can maybe create a separate company that's not on paper connected to you, but maybe you run that company. I hate to call it a shell game, but that's what it is. You could pretty much run an entire market nowadays, and some mega media companies do.
Right. When you did a morning host, show for many, many years, do you find that most people were tuning in for the local angle on news?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think that's still the real key to radio. Not many stations operate totally locally anymore, but I admire and respect those that do. There is an investment that has to be made in people, and most of all, in the community. Without your community, you don't exist. If you, like I do, for example, public address at a number of high schools in Westchester and some colleges and in the Hudson Valley, on Long Island, in New Jersey, in Connecticut, wherever my travels take me around the tri-state area. But like I tell people, I wouldn't be sitting here right now if it weren't for what's happening out there, for those kids out there on the court, for those athletes out there on the court. They make the show. Right. And you're just talking about what they're doing, basically. Without their exploits, we're not doing this.
Yeah, it's local news has taken such a hit in recent years. I came up in politics and in the public relations field, and I quickly learned that even in gigantic stories like a tragedy like 9/11 or something, when you go to the local angle, it's how did it affect people in Mamaroneck? How did it affect people in Yonkers?
In Tarrytown, and Somers,
and that's the beat. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's not you don't. You know, the local news coverage, breaks down the bigger stories there. Mm-hmm. It exists. Others take that.
That's what excites me, the local stories, the local angle.
It's people.
Like, we're here in Westchester. Right. It's about where we are in Yonkers here at Mont Olympus Diner. Exactly. It's about White Plains. It's about Tarrytown. It's about Mohegan Lake and Buchanan and New Rochelle. You name it. It's about that in Westchester. Now, there are public officials in Westchester who represent divergent areas. For example, State Senator George Latimer is one. Yep. He's got a district that runs from the Sound Shore area, New Rochelle, Mamaroneck, Rye, Harrison, Larchmont, etc. It runs all the way up, straddle 684, little piece of White Plains, and then into Armonk. Right. And George will be the first guy to tell you, it's a very divergent district that I represent, very divergent interests, and yet I have to find a way to make it work all together as the state senator, as the representative for this area, and that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do in radio, too. I think radio, TV, anything media-wise, newspapers, magazines, make it all connect somehow back to home base. Now, you're a political guy, political veteran, and you know as well as anybody, all politics is local. All media, in the end, is local.
Yeah. I mean, certainly all the politics is... The media gets challenging. I mean, some markets have very, very good coverage in a lot of it. You reminded me of a race I did last year in New York State, a congressional race.
Which one?
It was John Faso in New York 20. Mm-hmm. And that encompassed 11 counties.
Right.
And he's got a wide district with very different interests and different perspectives.
From urban
on
to
things.
Suburban to rural, and even very rural in parts of his district where you're almost like in the South in some portions of his district. And he's got to make it all come together somehow.
Right. How do you do? I mean, you've had thousands of callers call into your shows over the years. What do people, how do you find that experience? Is there a common theme? What do people want? Do they want to be heard? Or is it genuine questions?
They want to be heard, I think, most of all. They want to be heard about their issues and what they're talking about. For example, I flipped open one of the New York City papers a few days ago, and I saw a letter from a lady by the name of Peggy Godfrey in New Rochelle. She would call me every day when I was on WVOX hosting the morning show there a couple of years ago. Peggy was known as... I don't want to use the term a gadfly, but somebody who was very community involved. Whether you agreed with her, whether you did not agree with her, she would call you every day religiously to spout off about whatever it is was on her mind that day. And what she talked about in, I believe it was the Daily News a couple of weeks ago, it rang a bell as to what she would call me about at WVOX. And you have to have those people. You have to have... the concerned neighbor up the block calling you. You have to have the crazy off the wall who's talking crazy off the wall. You know what? Maybe crazy, but he makes the show.
Yeah.
Maybe crazy, but he makes the show. You know when so-and-so is on the line, you got somebody interesting to talk to you.
Yeah.
And even if he's going to rip you and your views apart, it's what you want. If we all had people who agreed with us all the time calling, that would be boring. So, I'd prefer to have somebody who wants to get into a discussion, engage in a discussion. Let's talk about the issues. For example, the two of us can go off about any issue right now. We could take two totally different sides.
And then we could switch.
Right. And yet, we're trying to achieve the same thing.
Yeah.
In the end, we're trying to achieve the same goal, to try to find a solution, a happy medium. Somewhere in the middle, that's the answer.
That is a great topic for today, for the day. It's that, you know, as someone who works in the political world and in the communications world, you see how dumbed down conversation and debate has become. You know, someone said to me, a former marketing guy I ran into recently said, you know, political campaigns are no longer public relations efforts, they're marketing campaigns.
That's what they are.
And
that's
right.
What it's about.
It's memes, it's dumbed down, it's five words, it's in your face, it's bumper sticker campaigns.
You got to market the candidate. If you don't market the candidate, it doesn't matter.
And TV, I mean, I do a TV show in the Hudson Valley with Richard Brodsky, Newsbreakers, on the weekends on Fios One. And that's, we have a little bit of time to talk, but TV is very limited in time. You can really get into nuance on radio.
Mm-hmm,
like, how as a radio pro and longtime media pro, how do you see the way media has changed, debate has changed in America?
I think that when you get to a debate, two sitting down with a candidate, for example, or two people, one-on-one, I think something that happened to me a couple of days ago speaks to what it's all about. I was sitting in my favorite hangout the last couple of years, Starbucks in Mamaroneck. I have my seat there. Everybody knows it. I'm in my own little world. Come and pour coffee on John's head. Wake him up when he falls asleep, whatever. And he's always got a newspaper draped over him. You know, come and grab his newspaper to get his attention. So he usually has about five papers laid out that you know he's going to go through. A guy who comes in there, his name is Dan, and he lives in New Rochelle. He's a retired steam fitter. He makes the rounds. You can spot him at Starbucks in East Chester, in New Rochelle, Waikiki, all around. And he's a political guy. He's a regular Joe, but he's a political guy. And he comes down over to me a couple of days ago, and he sits, pulls up a chair right up in my face and says, let's talk about this, 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 and this. And I said, okay. And then he said, wait a second. He said, I know you got some strong opinions on things. We might offend people if we're talking about these things. I said, offend who? I said, maybe we can get other people to sit down and talk with us. So whatever it is you want to talk about, Dan, let's talk about it. You bring up the topic and let's talk. And you could see people looking over their shoulders at us, maybe not agreeing with what we're saying. I think one or two people picked up their laptop and kind of walked away and went to a different spot, but that's okay. I'd rather they turn around and say, you know what? That's a bunch of bull, what you're talking about. That's how the debate, how the conversation has changed. We're worried. We worry too much about what other people think as opposed to talking about what we think. And like I said, somewhere as we go back and forth between you and me, the answer's there.
Right.
The answer's there. We'll figure it out.
And I think listening has something to do with it also. I mean, we all have strong opinions, and we all think we're right on all things.
Right.
But I try and train myself to do this because I fell into very bad habits for years where I'm in the business, so I'm banging out my points, basically, and listening and walking away with it and keeping other people's opinions in your head for 6 months, a year, 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to, you know, check your own math.
Right.
I think is an important thing to do.
That is, you have to fact check.
Yeah.
I try not to say anything opinion-wise. I don't even call it opinions anymore because I'm a lifelong Democrat, despite what people call me today. I am a liberal Democrat, but, you know, I got a couple of pieces of paper
here. What do they call you today?
They call me today Republican.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. No. Well,
I was a Republican, now I'm a conservative.
Yeah,
so.
I'm, you know, I'm a liberal left-of-center Democrat.
Right.
I believe in a...
Which makes you a Republican, right?
It's whatever you want to call me. I don't care. I deal in fact. Maybe it's because we're trained in this business to look for fact. So somebody may come to me and says, did you hear about this? I say, you know what? Take a look at this. Too many people nowadays say, no, I don't want to see it. Or I might bring you an article like I did to a couple people the other day. I distributed articles on different things to a few people I know. I don't want to see it. I don't read that. I said, she's crazy. I'm not going to read her. You called her crazy once 20 years ago. I said, you know what? Whatever she needed to do not to be crazy anymore, read this. This is fact, what's in here. Doesn't matter what you or me think in the end. Fact is fact, and then we have to work around fact if we don't like those facts to produce a set of different facts. Those different facts do not just happen. We have to make them happen.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll find great entertainment in it. I mean, Gail Collins, I don't agree with politically, but her columns are hilarious.
Right, that's all it comes down to.
She's a fantastic writer, and I've you know, cried laughing and reading your stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, she's very, very, very clever. And there's lots of them out there on all sides of the issue.
And somebody, one of the articles I dropped off for somebody the other day, it was Maureen Callahan in the New York Post about the JFK legacy and how Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg's son may run for office now. And she wrote basically a litany, a full-page litany of what the Kennedys did through the years. And that person, my mother, actually, of all people, who I dropped this article off for, because she's a lifelong far-left Democrat, but was never happy about the Chappaquiddick incident, just to show her Chappaquiddick's written up in here, et cetera. She came to me yesterday and waved the article in my face and said, you know what, right in the middle of here, she's wrong about JFK and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And she went on and on and on. All right, Ma, okay. And I walked away. I left. I'm driving around. And I said to myself, wait a second. She didn't focus on any of the other issues in there. As in the end, she may not be happy with Chappaquiddick, but she protected her own in the Democratic Party by saying JFK prevented World War III. She says he almost started it, and that's not true. She didn't focus on Michael Skakel. She didn't focus on any of the Patrick Kennedy, any of the Kennedy nephews or the family or anything else that might have happened that might not have been above water, whether it was or not, through the decades. It was, she was wrong about JFK. So basically, in her mind, Maureen Callahan tried to take the Kennedy family down. And in the end, the Democrats are Democrats, so I got to go to bat for them.
Right, right. You know what I find, and I see that you have a hard copy paper here with us today, is I switched to digital years ago.
Yeah, and I don't.
And you don't, but I don't. Which you have a great benefit on that, because I find that, of course, I read what interests me. I read 85 papers a day, but only one story in each of them.
Uh-huh.
That's all about the same thing, essentially.
Right.
And that's something that I haven't sat down with the New York Post, the Daily News, and flipped and seen the stories that I wouldn't normally go to. Do you find that in callers?
That's key. You got to go through the sidebar stuff. There's a young man from Scarsdale. His name is Jacob, and I've gotten to know him and his mother through the couple of years that I go in and out of that Mamaroneck Starbucks. And he's in a program at Hofstra University right now for the summer. He's a high school student, but some of my former New York area sports colleagues run a summertime sports media boot camp at Hofstra, and he's part of that. And I've tried to tell him, I've sat down with him a couple of times and told him, you know what? It's all well and good. That's great that you're going through everything sports-wise. Talk to me about what you've done in class. His mother had asked me to sit down with him and present the business to him from your angle. Let him know how hard you have to work, first of all. It's not just watching a ball game and talking about it. She said, I'm not in the business. She said, I'm a trader. But I know it's a lot more than that. So can you sit down with my son and, you know, just give him your overview of the business, which I've done a couple of times, and I've told him.
Which is what I was going to ask you in a minute.
I said, you have to. You see the way whenever you come in here, I have four or five papers here draped all over me. You see I go through them all. You sit here for a while. You see what I do. So that's what you have to do, top to bottom. Are you into politics? Yeah, a bit. What do you watch? I was watching some stuff, but I really don't anymore. So, well, prescribed watching every night, whether you agree with it or not. Formulate opinions on every topic you come across. CNN, MSNBC, Chris Matthews, Fox News. Take some time every night. Don't block off your schoolwork and delete any of your schoolwork to do this, but take some time every single night. You got summer here now. You have time to do it. Even during the school year, you have some time to do it also, too, around your classwork at night. Find out what's going on besides sports, because what you want to do is get into the business. You may not get into the business for a few years as a sports writer or a sports reporter or a sports anchor. So you have to find your way into the business in what to you may be the back doorway, but it really is the front doorway. Once you're in the business, you're in. And you're going to do, through the years, many things that you never expected to do when you got into the business on day one. I got in as a disc jockey up at WTBQ in Warwick in Orange County, which still exists today. It was just bought by the Polka King, Jimmy Sturr, and he hired me as his afternoon guy. I was out of Fordham University a year at that point. And from there, that's where I branched out. And like I said, everybody thought they were, you know, one day going to be on WABC, bung. It's not the way it worked out. And I saw that then. ABC changed formats at that time. They had just done disco. And they also, too, had gone to more of an adult contemporary format. And you had to adjust along the way with the business as well. And then from there, I branched out into talk, into sports, into news anchoring, which I, you know, was doing at TBQ to some extent anyway, also too, besides jockeying. That's what had to be done. That's what I tell this young man, Jacob. Whatever comes up, that's what has to be done.
Good advice. You're listening to November Team Live on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Bill O'Reilly. I'm here with John Marino, and we will be back after a break.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With seven metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today.
Give your home or office a facelift. You want to relax outside with a nice glass of wine, but you need to paint the house. You want to hit the links for a round of golf, but you need to paint the house. You both are ready for your vacation, but who will paint the house? Facelifts will. It's time to give your home a new look. They are the professionals to call when your home or business is in need of a paint job. Facelift staffs only highly trained interior and exterior painting specialists. Just select the color you want or use their trained color specialist and let them do the rest. Any size house, indoors or outdoors, they get the job done quickly, professionally, at your convenience and to your satisfaction. Plus, they offer repair work, power washing, carpentry, and generator installation for your home or office. Is your home in need of a facelift? Get to do all the things you want to do by letting Facelifts paint and remodel your home. Easy to deal with, easy to get in touch with. Licensed and fully insured. Call 914-806-8627 or visit faceliftspainting.com.
Here's a question for you. Do you love your office? I mean, really love your office?
Westchester Talk Radio loves your office too.
So much so, we've got some great stuff for your office.
Of course, we mean your coworkers.
I believe you have my stapler.
Spread the love throughout your office with a fresh floral arrangement from Joseph Richard Florals in Armonk and Grey Rock Florist in Valhalla. A box of heavenly chocolates from Chocolations in Mamaroneck. A social media consultation from MSM Designs. And a happy hour party at Saltaire Oyster Bar and Fish House in Portchester.
And here's the kicker.
And when you enter your office to win, you'll be qualified for a special prize. A visit from Westchester Talk Radio.
And we'll broadcast right from your office.
Try and get some work done then.
Woohoo!
Love your office?
Show the love and enter to win right now at WestchesterTalkRadio.com.
Produced by Shark Creative. Made possible by your friends at Entergy. Safe, secure, vital. You'd probably rather use that extra cash for that bathroom remodel, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Welcome back to November Team Live. We're broadcasting from on Westchester Talk Radio, live from Mount Olympus Diner in Yonkers, New York. We're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Rentals, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental. I'm Bill O'Reilly, and I'm joined again by John Marino, the very, very well-known radio house, host and personality. We were talking about the radio career and communications in general, how things have changed so much. And I wanted to ask you, John, for young people that are coming out of Fordham today or any other communication school today, what should they be thinking? How do they get in the business, and how should they prepare themselves to be in the business?
The most important thing is to continuously educate yourself and learn day by day, minute by minute. Never feel like that, oh, you know, I did my reading for today or I did my work for today. No, that never ends. That means, and especially you're going to get into this business, don't think you're going to punch a clock, because there is no clock in this business. Right. I've been in this business 40 years, if we go back to my days in college radio at FUV, at Fordham University. And it's been, well, like I tell people, it's basically been one continuous day. That's what it is. If you're looking to get into the business, you're considering communications for a career, you just have to try to be as well-read and as well-educated in every area of life as possible. Now, politics and the media go hand in hand. They just do. The nature of what it's all about, politics and the media, of what they're both about, they go hand in hand. They work together. So you'd better know your politics, who the representatives are, who represents you, first of all, who represents your wide-ranging area, what the issues are, what people are concerned about, what are they talking about? What are you concerned about? You know, you got to have concern. You have to have issues that are bucket list issues to you personally. Get in that. These are things that you formulate along the way. You may go into the business at the, or let's say you enroll at Fordham University or Syracuse University into the communications programs, and your bucket list issue may be lowering the drinking age to 18. All right, that's a start for you, but you have to pick up other issues along the way and be as well-read and educated in politics, in the world of business. You don't have to be a financial expert, but have a general idea of the world of business. I've done some business reporting, Wall Street Journal, for example, Wall Street Journal Radio along the way, Dow Jones. And I'm not a business expert, but I think I knew enough about business to jump in and be able to understand what's going on. Fashion. You have to know about fashion. You have to know about the art. You have to, if you're not a sports fan, learn something about sports, at least the basics. Learn and know every area going in, because that might be your path to getting into the business, where maybe you get hired to write or to talk about just one facet of all of that, and you have just enough to be able to get that job to get in. All my years on CBS Radio, there was a station in Seattle with Mitch Levy, not my old CBS Radio colleague, Mitch Levy, who's still around, still anchors on, at the age of 76, still anchors on 1010 Wins today. Yep. Got back in, just got a job recently, lost a job with iHeartMedia's 24/7 news service, and got a job on Wins. And Mitch, I grew up listening to him. I have the honor of working with him at CBS for a number of years, and he's the nicest human being you could ever possibly meet. But a guy named Mitch Levy, who I believe to this day still hosts a morning talk show on a station in Seattle. All my years on CBS 880 in the city, I was the guy who covered the U.S. Open, lived at the U.S. Open for 2 weeks every year. Now, I'm not a tennis expert.
I listened to you covering it.
I'm not a tennis expert, but I would be recruited by Mitch Levy like every morning to do a U.S. Open report for him out in Seattle. I'd get, you know, a call from a station in Houston, from Salt Lake City, from anywhere around the country, the fan in Toronto, you know, about every sport, but especially the U.S. Open. And I was no tennis expert, but I knew enough about the game of tennis to be able to talk about the game, what happened on the court, what the issues were day by day, what's going on at the U.S. Open, and that's what you have to do. You don't have to be Jimmy Connors. You don't have to be Pete Sampras. You don't have to be Rafael Nadal. Right. Or Roger Federer, or have their knowledge of the game of tennis. Or I must say, Venus or Serena Williams, too. Got to throw that in there and get everybody in from both sides nowadays, as we have to do. But you do have to know enough about the game to be able to talk about it, to discuss it from any angle possible.
Yeah. You remind me, you talked earlier about absorbing news and learning a little bit about everything. I've tried to get my daughters to, and I'm working on my youngest now, who's about to be 11, to start to at least listen to the radio. I
mean, right.
When I grew up, there was a stack of newspapers on our table every day, and you start with the comics, and then you eventually find the news, you know, over time. When I was 11, 12, 13, I'd listen to Wynn's News every
right.
night, and I was embarrassed. I thought something was wrong with me. My friends were listening to Led Zeppelin, and they come in and say, did you see Kiss on Don Kirshner last night? And I was listening to Wynn's News time, you know,
right.
1:15 a.m., and I'm listening to the airline disaster in Guam, or uh-huh. you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't see. I mean, I see. You know, young people today. I'm going to do one of those things, but you see, young people, if they read anything, it's maybe 5 minutes of BuzzFeed or something.
That's it.
And it's not. You're not getting that news thing. I'm glad you drill that into young people.
Yeah, I tell them listen to the radio, as you said. That's another point that I wanted to make about what young people should do getting into the business, too. Listen to everything possible on the radio.
The radio's the easy way to do it.
Yeah. Talk, sports, even foreign language radio. Or if you're not a religious person, I listen to a lot of different religious stations around the tri-state area. That's what a lot of local AM radio has become, Hispanic religious. But I speak Spanish. You know, I understand the gist of the music, too, what people, or the prayer of what people are trying to communicate. They may be Christian. I'm Roman Catholic. There is a difference. But I understand what they're praying about, or what a particular host of a show, a reverend, the pastor, might be trying to impart to his flock. And you do have to listen to all of that to get just a different feel, a different sense of all the different kinds of radio there are, all the different kinds of music and talk formats there are, the different kinds of sports formats there are, the different kinds of religious formats there are, just what's going on the dial. And with TV, too, like I tell Jacob in Scarsdale, you got to put on CNN. You got to put on MSNBC. You got to put on Fox. Get all the different viewpoints. You don't have to agree with any of them, but you have to know what they're talking about, because that's the basis of what's going on. Now, one day you may be in a position to determine what's going on. However, right now you're not in that spot. So know what's going on so you can work your way in, get into a conversation with somebody. If you get an opportunity, say, college radio, just, hey, you're doing a talk show. In 5 minutes, you're on. You know, the host didn't show up. What are you going to do? You know, get in there and do a show. But you know, have some idea of what direction to go in when you sit down.
I'm going to ask about how the world's changed in a minute with you know, podcasts, internet, how, you know, satellite radio. But I first wanted to ask along the vein that we're discussing is, how have you established trust with your listeners? Because you have very loyal listeners and have forever. How do you establish that?
I think being yourself every day. I think I hate to put it in such simple terms, don't act like a big shot. I think sometimes people believe that because they're in this perch, well, you got to play that role. Play the role of you. People come and find me in the places where I am, even day by day, and say, what's the best advice you could give me about this situation? Or I'm having trouble with my boyfriend, my girlfriend. What's the best advice? Or, you know, I see, like, you know, you've had a lot of girlfriends in your life. You know, how do you, like, go and approach a woman for whatever it is that you want? You know, just be you. Just act like yourself, whether it's on the air, off the air. Be the same person.
It's funny. It's the same advice.
Be the same person.
It's the same advice I give elected officials.
That's it, right.
Don't try to be anything but what you are.
Don't try to be, you know, Tim Russert was the best at
the best Tim
catching
Russert.
He was the best at being Tim Russert. He was the best at, like you said, for politicians, for elected officials to just be themselves. He was the best at catching somebody in the act, I like to call it. He'd sit down with somebody on a Sunday morning and, you know, Senator so-and-so from California would say, I believe in this and we're going to do this. And he'd say, it's all well and good, Senator, but you know what? I got a tape of you from 6 months ago at a conference where your position was totally different.
Opposite, right,
and they'll
right.
go right to the tape. Yeah. And he had the best staff at finding that, like Sean Hannity does. Hannity's got a great staff at finding what people have said and done through the years and might be a bit different than what they're telling you right now. And Tim would come back and say, you know, Senator, everybody's got a right to change their position. I've changed my positions along the way through the years. It happens. What made you change your position so quickly on this where right. you were so adamant 6 months ago? Well, you know, I got some new facts, some new info. It's just be you.
And the thing is, if you're sincere and you actually change your position, it's
right.
not a difficult
Nobody's going to believe you.
But it's not a difficult question to answer, too.
No, it's not.
You say, here
it's
it was.
Not.
I was thinking about my wife and my kids. And then I thought this.
But if you cry wolf too much, nobody's going to believe you. Eventually, the wolf eats you. So eventually, you might have really changed your position on a particular issue. But maybe so many times through the years, you know, you were caught in the act. Now nobody believes you, even though you are telling the truth.
I love John McCain years ago in South Carolina when he ran against President Bush in the 2000 primary. And he went and he said he supported the Confederate flag on the
right.
state flag. And right after the primary, he said, I'm totally ashamed. I did it to sell out. I was trying to win votes.
I was trying to win votes. Well, who would vote for you? I wouldn't vote for you at that point.
But
if you did that,
honesty,
I don't
you know?
Vote for you. He was honest about that, but that was too late. He should have been honest at the time and told the truth.
In the long run, it's
that gives
best.
You credibility.
Yeah, no, right.
I think it's all about, in the end, if you're on the air in any capacity, whether it's a talk show host, a disc jockey, et cetera, it's all about credibility. Be you. Now, you can change your positions, but be ready to explain why you made that change. Just don't come in tomorrow morning and say, you know what, everything I told you for 3 years about immigration, you know what, screw it, I don't believe that anymore. Yeah, keep everybody out of the country. Okay, and you could, you know, go from being somebody who's very pro-immigrant to changing your thought process on the issue and saying, oh, we don't want anybody in the country anymore. Explain why, though. You have to have credibility. If you don't have credibility, nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to call you up and talk to you. And certainly nobody's going to put you on. They're going to go someplace else and say, you know what? I may not believe this guy, but he believes in what he's talking about day by day. So I may totally disagree with him 100%. But I know he's sincere in what he believes in. That's the guy I want to watch or listen to. That's what it's about.
John Marino, what's it like when something very difficult is going on in the world? I was thinking when radio, like during the blackout, of, what was that?
1965
no,
or 77.
No, the one for 2003.
2003. I was on the air on CBS in that night.
Exactly what I'm saying. Or the blackout or Hurricane Sandy. When everything goes out but radio.
But radio.
And you know everybody's listening to you. Like, what are the stories that you remember most of when you know everybody's tuning in?
First of all, getting people through. That's the story. You have to, the world may be blowing up around you, and right around that same time of the blackout, our sports and traffic studios at CBS Radio were part of Shadow Traffic at that time. All the same company, the sports and traffic studios were in New Jersey, right off of Route 3 on Route 17 over by the Meadowlands in Rutherford at that time. So I had light in my studio. But a week after that blackout, all the lights in our building went out. And for about 3 hours, I did all my CBS sports reports, kind of like this, with no light. Or one day I got stuck. Around the same time, I got stuck in an elevator right before one of my reports. I pulled out my flip phone, which I still carry today. I did my report on the flip phone. So I did what I had to do. During those times, you want to communicate, first of all, and I've been involved, I think, in four different hurricanes through the years, dating back to the 80s. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. I can't tell you to go about your business right now because we are in the middle of something here. But you know what? Make the best of where you are. We'll get you through it. If you need anything, here's my number. You know what you do. You give us a call.
And you've got family too out there.
Exactly.
Know, right. But you're keeping cool.
You know what? You're not even thinking about your family at that point. You're thinking about you have a job to do, and you're thinking about everybody in the listening radius at that time. That's what you think about, and that's what. And I think I've had family that understands this through the years, that maybe you're capable in ways that other people may not be, so I know you're going to figure out a way. But my job is to work with people who might need that reassurance, who might need to hear somebody that says, you know, everything's going to be okay in a system. We may be facing the worst right now, but it's all going to blow through. May take a little time, but we are going to get life back to normal. And those are the stories I remember. That's the real story through all of that. I could tell you stories about being stranded during hurricanes, during Irene, during Superstorm Sandy, and having to walk through the rising Hackensack River with a bunch of my colleagues at that time to get out of a hotel right down the block from the shadow traffic by then, the iHeartMedia Studios building. We were in Lyndhurst on the other side of Route 3. You had to run for your life. We did. But, you know, it's what makes it fun. It's part of the job. Now, people say, how do you do that? And you know, I went on radio around the area and told my story of what happened to me during Sandy with my colleagues. And how do you do that? How did you get out? You had Irene the year before, and the year before with Irene, I didn't wait for any cops to come get me. I got myself out, and I can't swim. But I walked through the waters of the rising Hackensack River on my own, took my chances, and I cannot swim. But I knew where my car was, and I said, I'm getting the heck out of here. I knew the back streets in Lyndhurst, how to get onto Route 17. That's what you have to do. But weren't you afraid? You know what? I was more worried about my car than maybe about having to swim, even though I can't. I said, if my car gets screwed up, how am I going to get to work tomorrow? And I saw during Sandy, I saw at least four of my colleagues lose their vehicles right in front of my eyes. But my car was in a hotel across the street up top because I made friends with one of the maintenance guys when I came to check in.
Because you've been doing
this for a while. Hotel across the street the night before. I went over to one of the maintenance guys. He was hanging out 11 o'clock the night before, right before Sandy blew in. I said, hey, how are you? A little break, huh? He said, yeah. And I said, oh, by the way, you know, my car's across the street. You know, last year during Irene, I put it up here. He said, go get your car. Tell him Mike said, put it up top here. And that saved me.
I always love the radio stories about where things are going to high hell in the studio, but the listener never knows it. I think about Reagan with when the wire went out. He was broadcasting baseball,
right? And he made it up as he went along.
He made up a game. He had someone foul off like 32 pitches,
right? Exactly.
Before the wire went.
Before it kicked back in.
I'm usually on the other side where I'm with elected officials or candidates calling into you guys on the shows. I once had a U.S. Senate candidate sitting in the hallway of a school where we were doing an event with a coat over her head, like literally covering herself with a coat, calling into national radio about Sunni Shia policy disputes and, you know, religious disputes. And if anyone could have seen it, they never would have believed it. But you've been there. You've seen those things.
Many things have happened in studio along the way through the years. Things don't work. I remember one incident when I was on CBS radio, there was nothing working in the studio. And, with sports, here's John Marino. I just said, look at this. I went, boom, slammed the table. Everything kicked back in. Yeah. I said, oh. And I went to tell the chief engineer after the report what happened. And I said, listen, Steve, I hate to tell you, I slammed the table, but everything worked. He said, all right, good. He said, you saved me work, so I won't say anything this time. And I had a rep, and I did have a rep for getting mad in the studio and pounding tables, and as you saw a little while ago, throwing pens across
the
room.
This is getting more interesting
by the moment. And throwing papers all over the place. But you know what? You do what you have to do. That's all it comes down to.
You got to be you.
I remember one story in particular, and only a few people knew this story for a few years. I told a few of my colleagues a few years later, and everybody's laughing, but this really happened. We had a guy by the name at the traffic production desk by the name of Brett Miller, and this was during my CBS sports years, and Brett Miller was one of the lead shadow traffic producers, and they were all outside the sports and traffic studios, the producers, which a group I joined a few years after my CBS sports days for a few years, but Brett had a rep for being very eccentric, and I'm about to go on the air for a CBS sports report, and the anchor on CBS says, now with sports, here's John Marino. My door comes crashing open. Brett Miller comes in and he says, "Hey, John, we're ordering Chinese. What do you want?" I said, "Yankees first inning." and Brett's standing in the doorway, and the door is half open. I'm leaning over, trying to push him out. I mean, as hard as I could while I'm doing the sports report, push him out of the studio. And you're not in a position where you could say, "Brett, you see, I'm on live right now." "And what do you want? We're ordering it." Three times I had to push the door before I finally just slammed you. Boom. Door shuts. He's out. And then he's watching me through the glass of the studio. The report ends. I slapped myself on the head, put my hands over my head like this, and said, "This is unbelievable." Finally, I see him still looking in. And he opens the door and he says, "What were you just doing?" I said, "A sports report?"
Kung Pao, yeah.
He said, "Oh, yeah? Oh, live?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh, on CBS?" "Yeah." "Oh, what time is it?" "It's after my report. It's over."
"CBS News time is."
"WCBS News time is 2:13. I said, "Brett," I said, "you know what?" I said, "just get me some wonton and an egg roll, okay? Thanks."
You're listening to
November
Team Live on Westchester Talk Radio, and we are talking to the ever-authentic John Marino, who has not started throwing things yet.
I did before.
We still have time. Yeah. John, talk to me about the world of radio today, the podcast industry, the digital world, how has that affected your business?
I think it goes hand in hand with the business. It's good. Every radio station has a podcast now. Every news or talk station has a podcast now. Every music station has some kind of HD 2 or 3 with maybe a news link to it. Or a news station has a music link. You see the CBS group. They link everything together. Maybe CBS 880 has a music link on an HD channel. Or Fresh, which is part of the group, has a news link on one of their HD channels. Maybe a 1010 Winds news link on there. A 1010 Winds 2, for example. It all works together. It's all part of the business. It's more opportunity for people to be engaged and to take part, to listen in to something. The day we stop listening to anything or just allowing the computer to do it for us, BuzzFeed, for example, it's all well and good. We've stopped being a society. When I was over at WVOX, Bill O'Shaughnessy, who, you know, legendary media mogul throughout the tri-state area, the respect that I learned for that man, working for him for a couple of years. The man is a genius, a mastermind, one of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my lifetime. And he was on as a guest with me one day, and we both agreed that as long as people think, doesn't matter what you think, just think. As Mr. O said, just think. And I said, "Yes, Mr. O, that's it. As long as we have people who just think, we can keep doing this.
Right.
We can, as a society, continue to function. Doesn't matter what you think, just think." Like I said before, we could sit here for hours and disagree on 100 different topics, but we're thinking.
And the only way to check your thinking is to talk to other people.
Talk to other people.
Is to communicate, right?
Right, is to communicate, is to talk to other people. And you could say, you know, everybody else in this world is crazy except me.
You're all nuts, right, exactly.
Exactly, but we're thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Then you find out that you're right.
Yeah, that's what I tell the people who call me a Republican now. I say I'm a Democrat.
Yeah.
I'm an FDR. What I think, what I believe is what FDR would have done, what JFK would have done, what Truman would have done, etc. So I'm right and you're not.
Yeah. What are you working on now? You know, you've begun a new show on Westchester Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'll be here on Westchester Talk Radio. We'll be all around the county, wherever we have to be. For example, on Saturday night, August 19th, we'll be up at Wampus Brook Park in Armonk, right off 684, on the southbound side of 684, a couple blocks off 684. And we'll be there with a small town theater company run by a good friend of mine, Sam Morrell, who's the director of the company. And the small town theater company runs a a summer concert series, four different concerts, generally on a Saturday night, sometimes on a Friday night during the summer, and they'll be hosting the New Rochelle Opera Company that night. So we'll have New Rochelle Goes to Armonk, all still in George Latimer's district, and he's New Rochelle, Armonk, and I know George comes to some of the shows sometimes. Maybe he'll be there with us next week. I know he's good friends with Sam. Sam comes down to the Mamaroneck and New Rochelle and does some things with George around the area sometimes, too. So we'll be on Saturday night, 7 to 9, at the New Rochelle Opera Company's performance hosted by Small Town Theater Company, Saturday, August 19th, Wampusbrook Park in Armonk. We'll be with the Pelham Picture House.
Oh, I love the Pelham Picture House.
Which now they like to be referred to by their corporate name, which I think is Picture House Regional Film Center. That's what it is. In Pelham, yes. They prefer to be referred to that way now. We'll be with them on Saturday, September 2nd. Time still to be determined for their Children's Festival, indoor and outdoor activities.
It's a great theater. I spent my childhood
there. And I know Laura DeBuies, the director of that theater, president of the theater, very well. And on the 16th, we'll be with them also to sometime in the evening, probably a 7:30 or 8 start. That's still TBD. We've got an event in Yonkers hosted either by Jim Cleefield or Bob Marone, or maybe both, earlier that day. And we'll be there in the evening of September 16th at the Pelham Picture House as well for their picnic in the park, which runs all day, but they have events going on at night too. And that's when the legislators and the public officials show up, like Jim Masano, county board member, Assemblyman Jeff Klein will be there, and more too.
Astorina goes, I know, a lot to the Pelham Picture
House. Yeah, I'm sure Rob will be there as well.
I just want to remind listeners how they can listen to your show, John, which obviously you can do it live, but you can download Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes. Westchester Talk Radio app is on iTunes. You've been listening to November Team Live on Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting from the Mount Olympus Diner in Yonkers, and my guest has been John Marino. John, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure,
Bill. Pleasure to meet you.
Great to work with you.
Been listening to you for years and years.
Thank you.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark
Creative. We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.